Amen. Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. Yes, I hope you are. If you're not, you might as well choose to be, because whether you realize it or not, you're here. So, in case you didn't know where you were, you're here. So you might as well just be glad about being here since you are here. And it makes it a lot more fun. Amen. But I am truly glad you're here. Thankful for the word. Thankful for a company to come to. Thankful for a family. Amen. Father, we just love you this morning. Father, we're so grateful. We're thankful, Lord, for all that you have done for us. Yes. Father, we're so grateful for Jesus. We're thankful for the sacrifice, the great sacrifice that was made for each of us. Yes. And Father, we're so grateful and we're thankful for your word. Father, your word is not just a book of stories. Your word is life. Yes. And your word is medicine. Yes. It's health and healing to all our flesh. And so, Father, we're so grateful today that as we open your word, Father, we do so with a heart of expectancy. We do so, Lord, with an excitement in our heart, knowing that we're about to receive something, because your word is life. And so, Father, I just pray that everyone who has an ear to hear, Lord, let them hear what your spirit is saying, and let their hearts and lives be changed because of all that they've heard. And so, Father, as we hear today, we don't just hear for hearing's sake, but we purpose to do that which we've heard. Amen. Amen. Purpose to be doers of the word. Amen. Yes. Amen. Before we get into anything, we are going to continue today talking about God's word as medicine. How many of you have been helped at all by this? I mean, whether it's just a faith builder, a refresher, I've said it before, we will always be in need of the Word of God concerning healing, miracles, and concerning how to walk in divine health. Amen? Because whether it's for you personally, you will always know someone that's going to need healing. You're always going to have a family member, a friend, a coworker. There'll always be somebody that comes across your path that needs to know that Jesus is the healer. Amen? And so if we don't know that for ourselves, then how can we let others know that? So I like to remind you that when we come and we hear, anytime you're ever in a message or you're ever in a service that's ministering concerning healing, don't ever tune it out and think, well, you know, I needed to hear something about marriage today. Just open your heart to the Holy Ghost, because he can take one message and feed a multitude of people and feed them on the level of their need. So you'll hear something today because of the Holy Spirit that will meet that individual need, but yet you'll also hear something regarding healing, and if you'll receive it, it won't only benefit you, but also receive it knowing that this is going to benefit someone else. Amen? Knowing that what we hear, we can also then give out. And so as I was preparing throughout the week, and then even yesterday, and I saw myself doing something, and so I just want to be obedient and do it. And Jaime, there's a transference of healing anointing. Amen. As the word comes forth today, just by the teaching of the word, that will literally be like liquid life flowing through your body. And why this, I don't know, but I saw yesterday as I was preparing, I saw myself asking you and Berna to come and sit in the front row. And I don't know why, but I'm just going to follow what I saw. I'm sure the anointing can reach you right where you're at, but for whatever reason, I'm just going to be obedient to what I knew in my heart. So come on, make yourselves comfortable up here. And of course, you know, it's never to embarrass anybody, but I'm going to obey the word and obey the Lord, I should say, what I saw in my heart. So whatever, there's a reason for it. So Lord, I did it. But I do know this, that as the word comes forth, literally like liquid life flowing in your body. Amen. Amen. So we want to start with Psalms 107 again. I'll try to do a really quick review to catch some of you up. As soon as we can, the messages will be downloaded. They'll be online, so you can go ahead and catch up. If you're hungry enough to do so, you'll take the time to do that. Psalms 107, I love this scripture so much. Your Bible may say, and he sent his word and healed them. But I've been reading this to you out of the CEB, the Common English Bible. And let's go back to verse 17, and we'll read 17 through 20. But I love the way that it phrases this, because it really hits home for a lot of us, for all of us at one time or another. He starts out with saying this: some of the redeemed were fools because of their sinful ways. They suffered because of their wickedness. They had absolutely no appetite for food. They had arrived at death's gates. So they cried out to the Lord in their distress, and God saved them from their desperate circumstances. And here's the part that is so amazing. It says, God gave the order and healed them. He rescued them from their pit. Notice that. Let's bring this to light again. That they made the mess. They were redeemed, but they did some foolish things, and it brought them to death's gates. They made their own mess, but they did the right thing. They cried out to the Lord. Amen. Amen. How many of you realize that's always the right thing to do? Yes. It's never the right thing to run from God. Run to Him. Yes. Even if you had the shovel in your hand and dug your own pit, run to Him, because He's gracious and He's merciful and He's faithful, and He doesn't want you to run away from Him. He's a loving Father. Amen. And so it says that they cried out to the Lord in their own distress. This was their distress. This was their pit. But we know this: God is faithful, and I love the way the CEB says this. God gave the order and healed them. He rescued them from their pit. Amen. How many times has God rescued you and I? Oh, my goodness. If you had to really think about it, and if you really took the time, took an afternoon, took a few hours, and just sat there and thought about all of the things, tried to remember. Some of it we won't even remember, because we move on from things, you know? But it does us good to remember the times that God has rescued us. Amen? And if He's done it once, He'll do it again. Now, we want to grow, and we want to get wiser. Amen. We don't want to keep digging the same pit. We want to grow in faith. We want to get a little smarter in life. Amen. But the point of this is knowing that God's order, God's will, is for you and I to be healed. Amen. Amen. God's word is His will. His will is His word. And He wills that you and I walk in health. Amen. Amen. That is His will. And that has to be something that's settled on the inside of you. Because it's really hard. It'll be very hard for you to receive healing from God if you still somehow believe that you know, what you're going through, you know, that's your thing that God kind of uses to keep you in check. You know, I've heard people say that. I've heard believers talk to me, and they insist that, you know, I mean, this is just kind of my thing, you know, and I know that you know, this is just how God kind of keeps His thumb on me. You know what? I don't want to serve a God like that. I really don't, because that doesn't sound like a good Father to me. You know, it doesn't sound, I don't see goodness in that He's going to use sickness. First of all, how many of you know that God is not so weak that He has to take from the devil's bag of tricks and use that to keep our lives in check? The Bible says it's the goodness of God, right, that will bring a man to repentance. Everything about God is good. He's life. He has no sickness to give. He has no disease to give. And nor does He reach into the bag of the enemy's tricks. He doesn't have to borrow a weapon from the devil to teach you and I a lesson. And He doesn't have to keep us under His thumb by using this thing. No. He either wants us healed or He doesn't. And He does. His all through the Bible, His word tells us this. And this is just one scripture, just one out of so many, that reminds us and drives it home that God's order, He gives the order for your life, and He says, be healed. Amen. And in response, we want to say, I am healed. Amen. Amen. I always like to liken it to Genesis. He said, light be, and light was. healing be, healing was. Amen. Simply because God gave the order. And then we moved on to Proverbs 4, so go there. And we've kind of been camped there the last couple services, talking specifically about how God's word is medicine. And the Bible literally says this. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. And I'll read it to you first out of the King James. It says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they," his words, "for they are life." Amen. Amen. There's no death in them. "They are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Now, if you have a good study Bible, you may have a margin in the middle. Mine is kind of on the bottom. It leaves a little number, and it lets me know that this word health in the Hebrew is literally translated medicine. So we could read it like this: "For they are life unto those that find them, and medicine to all their flesh." And medicine, that book on your lap right now, it's medicine. What are we doing today? We're taking our medicine. Absolutely. We're taking another dose. Every time you open this Bible, I'm taking another dose. I'm taking another dose of life. Hit me again. Give me another dose. This is another dose of life. It's another dose of medicine. Amen. And we want to get to that place, and I've said it before and I'll keep saying it. We want to get to that place where we no longer look at this as, okay, well, I'm going to open this book I call the Bible and I'm going to read. But we want to say, you know what, I need to take my medicine. Amen. I need another shot of life. Amen. Amen. I need to take my medicine. Amen. And as parents, I just want to say this because it's been on my heart. As parents, especially if you still have younger children, it is so vitally important that you know the word of God concerning healing. It is so important. And I've said this so many times over the years, but I'm going to continue to say it. It's so important that you become proficient in God's word, that you're rooted and grounded in God's word concerning healing, because these little lives depend on you. And until they're able to come to that place where they can stand for themselves, you're the one who stands for them. And it's so important that each of us, you know, there's always somebody who's going to be dependent in some way for a season or however long. And we all need to, but especially as parents, there you must know for yourself. You have to know so that when these things try to come, when sickness, disease, all these things try to come, when whatever it is that's floating around, you know, kindergarten and your child brings it home, we stop it immediately. Yeah, amen. Amen. See, there's a difference between us and the world. Amen. The difference is this. Amen. Amen. But it's knowing this that makes all the difference. And so you have to know for yourself that Jesus is the healer. Amen. And we know how to proficiently administer healing, which again is why these messages are just so important. So important. And so we began to break this down, and we can see clearly there's four steps right here. I mean, right here, just in these few verses, there is a wealth. Just a wealth. Hello? Someone get that? There is a wealth of healing, a wealth of information just right here. Isn't that amazing? Yes. It's not like, I mean, if just in these few verses, there's enough right here that can literally change our life. Amen. Just in a few verses, how much more then? The whole book, right? The whole book. Amen. It's amazing. We need to be thrilled with God's word. I love something Brother Hagin said. He said it over and over again. He said, the word that you're thrilled with is the word that's real to you. If you're not thrilled with it, it's not real to you. If you're not excited about it, if you don't get excited, if there's not absolutely, if there's not a visible excitement, if it's just, oh, that's nice. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Good region.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, okay. You know, I think I heard that once. Yeah. Oh, it's in there. Okay. Right on. And we wonder why. We wonder why we don't walk in the manifestation. Amen. We need to get excited about God's word. I just read to you that he sent his word. He gave the order. And healed and rescued them. And that doesn't ever need to get old to us. Amen. You know, sometimes you gotta jumpstart your exciter.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. You know, because the word comes at you on a spiritual level, and we are such creatures of entertainment. We want to be entertained all the time. We absolutely do. We train our children that way. We do. It's the generation. It's, you know, we're a technology age, and we sit them in front of something and we teach them that in order to absorb anything, you are to be entertained. And so we grow up with this. We want to be entertained. It is very true, because we can stay awake through a 3-hour movie on the edge of our seat. And yet, to get someone to sit through a 45-minute sermon, they'll sleep. And I love all my church family, but some of you are good sleepers. Unfortunately, you just do it when I'm talking. Which I've just, over the years, I've chosen to take that as a compliment, that my voice is very soothing and Minnie Mouse soothes you to sleep. But we need to get excited about God's word, even if you have to jumpstart your exciter. Yeah, absolutely. Amen. Well, as my dad would always say, I've quit preaching and I've gone to meddling. Now we're meddling, but it's good. We need to meddle sometimes. It helps us. So our points, 1, 2, 3, and 4, real quickly we'll go through this. The first instruction, the first way that God reveals to us on how we take God's medicine, written right there, my son, number one, attend to my words. If you haven't already, write a little number one right there, because that's your first step in taking God's medicine. We must attend to God's word. And again, I want to read this to you. The word attend, it means so much more. It means to regard, to fix our mind upon, to listen to give attention to. It means to fix your attention upon as an object of pursuit. Amen. Imagine how much more the word could produce in our life if we fixed our attention and we went after it as an object of pursuit.
Amen.
Yes. How much more, right? And so with the definition, we could read that verse like this. If we describe that word, attend, it could say, my son, attend. Fix your mind upon. Give your undivided attention to. Comply and practice and fix your attention upon. Pursue. Be busy in. Engaged in. And study my word. And that is how you attend. That is how I attend to his word. And we want to know what it means, because we don't use this word a lot anymore. We don't say, I know I can't come. I have to attend to something. I'm attending to something. We say, I got to do something. I got to go somewhere. I got to do, right? But when we attend to something, it's all that we just read. And so then we each have to ask ourselves, how many times have we actually truly attended to God's word? We may check in, we may pop in, we visit from time to time. But to attend is something entirely different.
Amen.
Amen. And we want to make it a practice that we learn how to attend to God's word, just like we would attend to our favorite movie or our favorite concert or whatever it is. How much more do we want to give precedence to God's word? Because it's his word that heals us, not anything else. Amen. Amen. And then the second thing we talked about last week, the second part of our prescription as to how to take this medicine, is to incline our ear. He says, attend to my words. Number two, incline thine ear unto my sayings. And remember last week we said that when we talk about the word incline, it kind of paints a picture in your mind. The word incline means to lean into. It means to give a leaning to or to bend. The Amplified Bible says submit, which is a great way to describe the word incline. To submit, to yield. It's a yielding. And so in order for us to incline our ears to God's word, we said this last week, then we're going to have to decline the words of somebody else, the words of doubt, the words of fear, the words of death. Amen. The words of maybe somebody that's a part of your life, but they are just full of negativity. They're full of doubt and unbelief. There are times when you'll have to decline yourself to that. You'll have to decline your ears to that, to pull away from and to lean into, to incline to God's word. Amen. Which says you'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord, which says by his stripes you were healed. Amen. We want to incline to his word because his word is life. Amen. And so in taking our medicine, in describing this word incline, we could read the verse like this. My son, incline your ear to my word. Lean into my word. Bend, yield, and submit to my word. Listen to me. Amen. Amen. God's voice, his word, his voice speaking through his word needs to be the supreme authority in our life. Amen. Even more so than the symptoms. Amen. Even more so than the diagnosis. Amen. Even more so than the disease. More so than what anybody else's thoughts or opinions. Even more so than what your opinion may be. Because maybe your head is still trying to catch up with your heart. And your heart says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Well, that's all right. That's okay. Because if that's where you're at, that's fine. But lean into this. Just keep leaning into God's word and keep exalting his word higher above your thoughts, your opinions. See, your opinions and your thoughts might be formed because of what you've known. Well, Auntie so-and-so died of this, and Grandma died of this, and my mom got this at this age, and so I'm just predisposed out of genetics that I would. Okay, that may be what the opinion, that may be the experience. But it's not God's word. And so we've got to incline or decline here. And so, all right, that may be what's in here, but as long as you keep getting this word in here, amen, then this will line up with this. Absolutely, to the point where you'll be able to say with full faith. You may start out saying it just, okay, Lord, I'm saying this out of obedience because your word says this. And your head is screaming at you going, how can this be when everybody in my family's died of this? But God says you'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Okay, Lord, since you said it, then I say I'll live and not die. And your head's going, yeah, right. Shut up. I'm going to say it again. I'll live and not die. Yeah, but you know so-and-so. No, shut up. I'll live and not die. What am I doing? I'm attending to. I'm inclining my ear. Amen. To his sayings. What God says trumps what everyone else says. And if that's not settled in your life, you're going to waver. You're going to waver, and you're going to be floating in between opinions. And you can die in that place. Die before you need to, before your time. Amen. So we want to be resolute concerning God's word. We want to be sure that we don't treat this as if it's another opinion. You know, I hear people say things like, well, you know, yes, Jesus was a good teacher, just like Muhammad. And no. No. You lost me on the just like. I was with you at good teacher, but when you got to just like, you're wrong. It's not the same. There's none like him. Amen. Because his word is still living today. And when we speak his word, we're speaking living words. Living words. Words that carry substance. Words that carry life. So that when you lay hands on yourself, or when you lay hands on others, or when you speak to your body, or you're speaking to your child's body, or you're speaking to somebody else, you need to get to that place where you see that as you speak, that it's living, it's tangible, it's real, it's alive. Yes. And it's going in.
Yes.
It's going in. Yes. You know, I used to think, you know, maybe this is just one of those weird things that, you know, I mean, I'm an odd duck. I am an odd person. I'd be the first to tell you that. Kind of strange. And so maybe it's just me that when I study the word on healing and when I lay hands on people, over the years I've realized that I've developed what seemed like it was just a habit or it was just a me thing, that my imagination so gets involved, if I'm trying to explain it in a way that makes sense, but I can see life, liquid life, the anointing going in.
Amen.
Reaching. Wherever, if the cancer, someone says, oh, the cancer's right here, I see the anointing going in and targeting that. And then I got to realizing, you know, whether it's just something that helps my faith, I don't know, but it's a good thing to do. And I encourage you to do that. That when you're praying, stop, take a minute, gather your faculties, gather your senses, don't be distracted. When you're laying hands on your children or on yourself, get everything, just close everything out and begin to see what is life, what would liquid life look like? And you lay your hands and you speak the living word of God. And you see that word going in, changing, destroying what needs to be destroyed, correcting what needs to be corrected. Amen. Amen. Number three. The third instruction we see, it says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Number three, don't let the word depart from your eyes. Amen. Don't let the word depart from your eyes. In other words, it means keep your eyes focused on the word other than your body, other than the bad report. And this can be challenging at times, right? Because nothing nags and screams louder than our bodies. Of course, because we feel it. You feel the pain. Everything about our body, it's on that sense-feeling level. And so it's loud. That pain screams. It's true. That pain screams. That stomach flu, that whatever it is, these things yell and they scream. You know? Yeah. And they say, hey, I'm here and I'm real and I'm sick. Do something. And a lot of times, the Bible says, don't let the word depart from our eyes. A lot of times, if we're not mindful, we end up paying more attention to the symptom, to the sickness, than we do to what God says about it.
Amen.
Amen. And so we want to make sure that while we're keeping God's word before our eyes, what we're doing is we're magnifying his word greater.
That's right.
We're saying, Lord, no, my body may say this, but your word says this. You say, yeah, but you don't understand. I mean, it's been two whole days. Keep at it. Keep at it. Keep at it. Amen. Remember I said a while back, you know, it's our job to become proficient. God's given us everything we need. But just like a mechanic, you know, I think about Brother Julio. You could lay tools out in front of him, and he knows exactly what each tool is for. He's proficient in this. He knows that this type of a wrench does this, and this type of a, I don't know, what's a sprocket? I don't know. Is that even something? I don't know. See, I am not proficient in this. That thingamajig does the whatchamacallit. These things, these doodads, that shiny little silver thing screws on this thing and socket. I don't know what a sprocket was. I guess I made that up. Socket, I don't know. A spark and a, what is it? A socket make a sprocket. We have now created something. I patent it. It's mine. If you develop it, I get all the revenue. A sprocket. So Brother Julio will look at all this, and he's proficient in this. Over the years, he's learned. He's honed his skills. He started with this, and it moved up to this type of an engine, and moved up to this, and this, and that, to where he may hear something and go, you know what that is? That's a carburetor. I don't even know what a carburetor is. Don't let me fool you. I just know the word. I have no clue where it's at. It could be in the back. I don't know. I just know there is one. But he knows. He's proficient in it. He's learned because he's attended to that. He's grown. He's developed. And we have to do the same. We have to give ourselves the time, put in the effort, put in the work, amen, to become proficient in this. So that our bounce back time becomes quicker and quicker and quicker. What tried to come and wipe out yourself and the whole school and the whole kindergarten or whatever, we bounce back. What took 2 weeks takes a week. What took a week takes 4 days. What took 4 days takes 2 days now. We've gotten so proficient in it, what took 2 days takes 24 hours. What took 24 hours takes two. Until we get to walking in that immediate response. Amen. Brother Hagin said that he became so proficient in this, he would talk about how he would go for years at a time and not even know he had a body. See, our mind just goes on tilt. What? Yeah. Not even realize that there was actually a body to contend with. Because he just became so focused in. Yeah. You know, when you value the word on healing, you'll devour it. You'll become proficient in it. And unfortunately, a lot of times it's those who have either like himself been raised up out of a deathbed or God has done something so dramatic, you know, which he has in my life several times. I know he has in some of your lives. And so you begin to value that word on healing because you realize that you are only alive because of it.
Amen.
But what if we all did that? Wouldn't you like to be able to say, I went 5 years at a time, never had a headache, never had a backache. Didn't you realize I had a body? Wow. Amen, that's awesome. And so we set a whole lot of other things, and we ended up right there on number three. But the fourth thing, because I want to talk to you about two other things, so let's get right to the fourth one. We didn't talk about this last week. The fourth instruction to taking God's word as medicine, he simply says, after you wrote number three down, number four, he says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Amplified says, keep them in the center of your heart. I'm trying to think of another way. Keep it as your main focus. Keep it as, let it be a pinnacle. Let it be something that you don't lose. In other words, don't treat it, again, the example, don't treat it like this. You know, here is our fire extinguisher. You know, in so many places they have little signs. In case, you know, if needed, break glass. We cannot treat God's word like that and expect it to be life, health, and healing to all our flesh.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't work that way. When we keep God's word in the center of our heart, what are we saying? We're saying, okay, this is going to be, this is my, it's my foundation. This is my foundation. Okay, how do I keep God's word in the center of my heart? Well, let's ask ourselves, how do you get something in your heart? It's one thing to get something in, it's another thing to keep it. But before we can talk about keeping it, we need to understand something. We get God's word into our heart. It comes in through our eyes, our ears, our mouth. The Bible calls it the eye gate, the ear gates. They're entrances. They are entrances that allow things to get into your heart. And so through our eyes, the gates, the entrance point of our eyes, every time we look upon, we read, we study God's word, it's getting in. It's getting in. It's getting in. It's putting another layer on that foundation. It's firming it up. It's putting another layer. It's solidifying things every time. Every time we hear God's word. Every time we come. Church is never wasted time if you come with ears to hear.
Amen.
Amen. And when you come with ears to hear, it's getting in. Guess where it's going? It's getting in your heart. It's solidifying. It's building another layer, setting another layer on that foundation. Rock solid. Absolutely. It comes in through our mouth. Yes. Yes. The Bible talks about what goes in affects us. What are we saying? What are we taking in? Are we taking in the opinions of the world? Are we taking in, oh, well, everybody just seems to be getting sick. I guess I'll be next. Well, I guess you will. Or are we saying, no weapon formed against me prospers?
Amen.
My family, we're covered by the blood.
Amen.
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 So with what we say, things get into our heart. And that's why, you know, I'm not trying to be, you know, a faith police or anything like that, but I don't even like joking about certain things. I like to even just get real strict with myself. I don't even like to say things like, oh, that just scared me to death. Oh, it was just so cute, I could have died. Oh, gosh, I just want to die. I don't mean any of that, so I don't want to say it. But the more I say it, the more it convinces and the more truth it becomes. Because the more I say it, the more I hear it, the more I believe it. The more I say it, the more I hear it, the more I believe it. The more I say it, the more I hear it, the more I believe it. When all along I could be saying words of life.
Oh, that's right.
So that the more I say that, the more I hear that, the more I believe that.
Amen.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and that's up to you. That depends on how, you know, people think, oh, well, you know, it's just a joke. Well, I don't see it that way, because words are containers. They are containers. Words will either carry life or they will carry death. Yes, and the Bible tells us that. They're either filled with life and they are going to give life and they're going to produce life, or they are going to give death and they're going to produce death. Amen. So in keeping God's word in our heart, the word will be kept. Now, this word keep, how do we keep something? When you're keeping something, you're paying attention to it. You're protecting it. The word will be kept in your heart by, yes, seeing it, reading it, but also this huge word that's so big, by continuing in it. And it was Brother Jerry, right, that said the three biggest words in the Bible, if ye continue. If ye continue. So many of us, we're great starters. We start strong, but we fizzle out towards the middle, and we never even make it towards the end. Yeah, anybody can be a great starter. I mean, really, the reality is this. Half the world is going to start great January 1st. This is my year, beast mode, going strong, can't stop, won't stop, whatever all that stupid stuff is, I don't know. You know, I'm like, yeah, woohoo, I'll check you in a month, you stopped. You're just a hairy beast, I don't know what kind of beast you are, but whatever. You know, all of these things, going at it, woohoo, you know, and really? Half the world is going to start strong. Or more. But you know what? It's not about making a great start. Let me see where you're at in the middle. In the middle of your journey, let me see. Are you still going? Are you putting one foot in front of the other? It's not a matter of, this is my year, and I'm going to do this, and by February, I'm going to be down 10 pounds. Listen, just take January and say, by January, I'm going to be down 1 pound. I'd rather you do something and do it well, small, right, than be all talk and all this hot air and, you know, and beast mode and all this. What is that? I just picture a hairy beast. I don't know. Anyway, I think so much in pictures, so when people say things, I'm like, ew, I see stuff. So anyway, just make a good start, yeah, but actually just try to finish, right? We can all be good starters, but if ye continue, oh, that's a great message, Pastor. That's so good. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna three times a day. I'm gonna take the word like medicine. And I'm gonna do it three times a day, and I'm gonna do it. You know what? That's awesome, and I'm excited that you're excited. But whether you know it or not, you probably won't do that. If that's not in you to do, if that's not become your lifestyle yet, how about you just set your mind to do it once a day?
Good.
And then once you master doing it once a day and you love it so much that, man, it's developing such a hunger in you, now you do it twice a day. And then you just think, you know what? If I feed my body natural food, well, that's my cue. When I'm feeding my body natural food, I'll feed my body spirit food. So I'll just, when I'm taking natural food in, I'll just make sure that you know, I've got this right here on my phone. And when I'm eating, I'm just going to take this little bit of the word. I'm going to get it in me. I'm eating spiritually while I'm eating naturally.
So good.
That's how I remember that. Or whatever it is. But we have to learn to continue. Amen? If ye continue. God's word is medicine, but we have to continue in it.
Amen.
And continuing requires effort. It's true. It is true. There is a disease of laziness, and it tries to creep on everybody. And a lot of times, the bottom line is this. Yeah, we want the results, but we don't want to put in the effort. Sure, that is true of human nature. That is why the diet industry is a multi-billion industry, and it will never go out. It will always be huge because there will always be human nature that wants to believe that if I take this pill, it'll suck the fat out of my thighs. Do you not know that I would have bought that already? We want to believe these things. Human nature wants the results, and we don't want to put the effort into it. We've all done that in so many ways. But to keep the word, to continue in it. Yeah, praise God for the word that gets in you. But what are you going to do to keep it in you? Because the same word that gets you healed keeps you healed.
That's
right. Amen. So verse 22 that says these words, his word is life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Absolutely. That will supernaturally come to pass. You don't have to make that come to pass. But what we do have to do is attend, incline, right? We have to do these things. And that requires effort, commitment, requires diligence. And like Pastor Wayne was saying, it just requires you and I developing a new hunger for God's word. So much so that we're not satisfied by leaving church, tossing the Bible in the back seat, and grabbing it again the next Sunday morning. And that's the only time you see it. It's not going to work for you. It will not work. I'm glad you have a Bible. That's great. But it's not going to work for you that way. It just won't. It just won't. God's word is medicine, but it must be taken.
Right.
Amen. It must be taken. Now, for the next few minutes, I want to talk about two quick things that probably don't get talked about enough, but they need to just be touched on at least. Because we talked about taking God's medicine. We talked about these things. But let's talk about this for the next few minutes. How to keep your healing. How to keep your healing. It's real important.
Amen.
Praise God. You need to learn how to obtain and receive and take God's medicine.
Yes.
But how do you keep that which you've received?
Amen.
This is a huge subject. It's actually way too big for the next few minutes, but at least we can just touch on it. A good example to start it. So there was a minister years ago, and you'd always hear, you know, Brother Hagin and these different men of God that were from that generation, they would always talk about a man named P.C. Nelson. P.C. Nelson. He was an amazing man of God. He started out as a Baptist minister, became so proficient in God's word that he became one of the leading Greek scholars as far as in translating the Bible and knowing the Greek. And he became just so renowned for that. And he was just highly anointed. And he made this statement. And I heard this years ago, and it rings true. He said this: more people lose their healing because of a counterattack than any other reason. More people lose their healing because of a counterattack than any other reason. Okay, healing comes through various forms: laying on of hands, anointing with oil. We talked about some of that in the beginning of these series. And there's numerous ways, receiving it just by your own faith, all of these things. But take, for instance, when healing comes by the laying on of hands or by another's spiritual gift, per se, where someone else's faith is involved, which happens, it happened last week. My faith was involved with those that came up for healing. It was your faith and my faith. Our faith was involved, right? Someone else's faith was involved. But almost always will happen, the devil will come to launch a counterattack. Yeah. And when I say that, do you think military pictures and, you know, launching a missile, you know, and try to catch the other ones off guard? They're launching a counterattack. That's kind of what this is like. He'll come to launch a counterattack, especially if there is a lack of faith in the person's life, he'll come to try and take advantage of that.
Yeah.
He'll always try to come and take advantage where we lack in faith. He'll always look for open doors to get in. He does. That's his job. That's why he's the devil.
Yeah.
He's always going to come and look for ways to get in and launch a counterattack. And how does he do that? Well, person comes up, the minister either agrees with them in faith, or hands are laid on them, or believers are laying hands on the sick, and maybe someone else prayed with you, or however healing came, the enemy will always try to come so subtly with symptoms. He'll try to come with a little symptom. And it's always a symptom of the very thing that you were healed from.
Good.
It might be a day later. It might be 2 days later. It might be 2 weeks later. It may be months later. It could be a year. But he'll always try to come and launch a counterattack. What's he trying to do? He's trying to steal your healing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Better said, he's trying to get you to let go
yes.
of your healing.
Amen.
Absolutely. And a lot of times as believers, we're not aware of this. We're not in tune to this. And you know how I know that? I know that by what comes out of our mouths. That when that symptom, when that missile, that symptom, that counterattack tries to come, too many times people say, that feels just like I thought I was healed of that. What? I thought I was healed of that. Oh, so you don't think you're healed anymore because you thought you were healed. But since you felt this, that feeling now means you're not healed? You see how subtle the enemy wants to come in and trip you up? Absolutely. He'll come in with symptoms. And this is where so many people lose their healing. Absolutely. Why? Because they're not keeping. They're not attending. They're not continuing. And they feel something. And instead of acknowledging their healing, acknowledging their word, they acknowledge the symptom. They acknowledge what they feel. And when you acknowledge it, you'll begin to magnify it. And when you're magnifying it, all of a sudden, you're checking in with your body continually. Wait a second. And we're checking in, and well, I don't know if I can do this now because I feel that. And when I feel this, I know what comes next. Because what used to happen was I would feel this, and then it would cause this, and then this would happen, and so now we begin to make plans and we dictate our future on what we have felt. And we say, well, I can't do this now because I felt this and this is what's going to happen. And so now we're just waiting for the worst. We're expecting it. Do you see this? Instead of rising up and facing the devil with the word, just like Jesus did. Remember? Remember when the enemy came? What did Jesus say? It is written. It is written. No, it is written. Every time the enemy came to launch a counterattack, to launch another missile, Jesus responded with the word, it is written. It is written. It is written. We need to take a cue. We get our example from Jesus. If that was his response on how to face the devil, how to face the trial, the whatever it is you want to call it, then that's our response. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. Don't look for another way to do it. Just do what Jesus did.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus always responded with the word. And too many times we yield and give in to symptoms, because there's no sound foundation in our life. Yeah, it's great you came to church and someone laid hands on you. That's wonderful. But what are you going to do the rest of the year to hang on to that? What are you going to do when you're by yourself and you can't get someone to lay hands on you? What are you going to do when it's going to rest on your own faith? We have to have a solid foundation of knowing the word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I guess this is one reason why, as pastors, you know, we talk so much about church attendance and being in church and being where the word is coming forth. And you know, I've learned over the years that one of the dumbest things I can do is to assume anything about anybody. It really doesn't matter to me how spiritual you seem. It doesn't matter. Someone can come up to me and quote the Bible front and back, and I'm, you know, just really, you know, cool, but I'm not easily impressed, especially over the years. I told you, ministry years are like dog years. I'm 43 in natural years, but because I was brought up and born and raised in ministry family and been in ministry my whole life, I'm like 200. So I feel really good about these wrinkles. At 200, I'm doing good. Like, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm 43, but I have seen so much. And I have seen those that, yeah, you can talk the talk and you can quote this and this and that. And, you know, and everybody else goes, oh, my gosh, they're so spiritual. I'd love to be like them. And you know what? I'm just keeping real silent. That's great. That's fine. But I am more concerned about the foundation you have on the inside of you, that you're going to be able to sustain and keep that which you've received. Because I've seen too many people lose it and let go. Not because they lacked charisma and personality and had good memorization skills, because they lacked foundation. They lacked a solid foundation. And so these people will go out, and I see them, I run into them from time to time, and I remember when hands were laid. I remember when miracles were wrought and God healed and delivered that baby and God did these things. And so I look and I see some of these people, and where are they now? And it's heartbreaking because some of them aren't even serving God anymore. Was that the church's fault? There's a lack of foundation. And when the counterattack came, you didn't have what it took to stand and weather the storm. But it's much easier to say it's the pastor's fault. Absolutely, scapegoat, you know? But it's not the case, which is why we're such sticklers. Come, be a part. Don't miss these services. Come, be a part. Hear, be fed. Because it's solidifying. And I know then that you have a better chance of hanging on to what you've received. Amen. James 4:7, two scriptures, and we've just got a couple minutes and we have to finish this, try to wrap it up. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do we keep our healing? We're going to have to learn to resist the devil. Resist him. When that symptom tries to come, that old familiar feeling, and the fear that tries to come with it. Absolutely. Have you ever had anything like that happen? Yeah. Especially if it's something to do with your heart, you know, or something that is a big deal. You feel it. And what immediately comes with that feeling? Fear. Fear tries to come. Absolutely. But what are we told? What are we instructed to do? Resist. Resist him. We don't cave in. We can't lay down and go, oh, it's back, here it is. We immediately have to learn to resist him. How do we resist the devil? I said it. We resist him with the word. That's how Jesus resisted him. He kept trying to come. He kept trying to come. Well, if the devil will keep trying to come and keep trying to come, if he did it to Jesus, what makes you think he's not going to do it to you? Right. And we're so goofy sometimes. A counterattack, symptoms will come. Listen, that's not the time to sit and go, I guess I lack faith. I guess I'm not spiritual enough. I guess I'm just not, I'm not as strong as I thought I was because now all these things are coming back. Shut up. Stop before you dig yourself deeper. The devil's no respecter of persons, and if he would come against and come against and come against Jesus time and time and time again, and Jesus resisted and Jesus resisted and Jesus resisted, until he finally, he flees. Because he knows there's no open door here. There's no open door. And he walks away going, oh, they built a foundation. I can't get in. Yes. Yes. What did Jesus say, right? He said that the devil can find nothing in me. No open door. That's us. We want to get to that place. Where we say, hey, nothing. He can't find nothing in me. No. I don't fear cancer anymore. I don't fear heart disease anymore. I don't fear diabetes. I don't fear kidney failure. I don't fear high blood pressure. I don't fear depression. I don't fear anxiety. I don't fear chemical imbalances. I don't fear hormonal imbalance. I don't fear whatever it is that he tries to attack you with. We get to that place where, you don't bully me. I resist you, devil. Amen. We resist him with the word. We resist him. But if you don't know the word, you have nothing to resist him with.
That's right.
Amen. And see, that's the problem. That's why, no, it's not a problem. Let me change my words and try to get this right. That is why I am such a stickler. And more, if you notice, when I teach a lot of times, when it comes to healing, yes, I am all for, we did it last week, I am all for laying on of hands. But if I have a core body of believers, I like to teach you in such a way that you're learning and you're developing to receive on your own faith.
Amen.
Because that's the higher level.
That's right.
Because if you only learn to receive on the laying on of hands,
right,
more than likely, like so many people do, you placed your faith in that. And you fail to develop a foundation for yourself. And so when the counterattack comes, you let go of your healing. And then you say things like, well, see, I guess they're not anointed. I'm going to go somewhere else. You can go wherever you want. The question's not on the anointing. The problem is still you. And where you go, there you are. So you go somewhere else. But once again, where you go, there you are. And you never get away from you. And so eventually it's going to have to click, light bulb go on at some point. Perhaps the issue is in me. Perhaps. And so I like to teach. I want you to learn how to lay hands. Believers lay hands on the sick. I want you to learn how to receive just from the hearing of the word. It's a higher level, absolutely. But if you can get that, then nobody can take it away from you. Because you know it didn't come from someone else's faith. It didn't come from guest speaker so-and-so who flew in. And praise God, they operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Jump in, take advantage of it. Absolutely. Get in it, swim in it. Just, yeah, I am all for it. But I'm also all for you having a solid foundation. So that you were the only one on the planet that believed, you'd last. And you'd make it on your own faith.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. James 4:7 says, resist the enemy. The other scripture, our last one, we'll look at these two. They're both in Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 2. And we're going to stop here. Thank you, Lord, for your word. These are instructions that Jesus gave to John on the island of Patmos. So they must be very important. These came from Jesus. And Jesus is telling John, and there's so much in here, but I'm only going to pull out two verses. In Revelation 2 and verse 25, Jesus' instructions say, in the King James, he says, but that which ye have already, hold fast. Till I come.
Amen.
Amplified says, only hold fast to what you have until I come. See, you can only hold on to what you truly have. So our time on earth here gives us time to assure that we can have some things. And then once we obtained, once we have the revelation, once we have, then we move on into holding fast. Once I have it, I've got to keep it. It's just another way of saying what we've said. Jesus wrote and said, hold fast to that which you have. And you hold it till I come. In other words, if you've received your healing, if you've received healing or revelation on healing, hold fast to that. Don't let it go. Don't let it slip away. It doesn't matter what the symptom is. It doesn't matter what the counterattack is. Hold fast. For how long until I come? And I like that because that takes the time limit off. How long am I going to have to? Listen, this by now you should know, or at least I hope you know, the Word of God being our answer for everything, this is lifestyle. Yes. Yes. It's not just something that, you know, we're doing for now, and then, you know, the next big thing's coming. That is the big thing.
That's right.
We're just here learning how to master this.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
Amen. And then in just the next chapter, Revelation 3 and verse 11, the King James, Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Amplified says, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may rob you and deprive you of your crown. You could say, so that no one, no thing robs you and deprives you of what you have received.
That's right.
You're going to have to hold it fast.
Yes.
And you're going to have to be willing to get aggressive.
Yes.
With resisting the devil, it is not, there is no weakness involved in resisting the devil.
No.
If you haven't figured it out yet, he doesn't play fair.
No.
If you're waiting for him to play by the rules, if you're waiting for, aw, that's not nice, it wasn't your turn. It's my turn. You're not, hey, no, that's my turn. Hey, no, you're making it really hard for me to resist you right now. Oh, you are of no threat. And it's not so much an outward thing, but I will say this, resisting the devil, it has an attitude. It has a stance. Yeah. There's a firmness. There's an attitude. There's a righteous indignation that comes with resisting the devil. There's not a, oh, I know, by his stripes I'm healed. See, now I'm like, you make me mad. Just go, go. No. There has to, something has to rise up on the inside of you. You know, we were talking about this on the way over. Like Smith Wigglesworth said, if we would only treat sickness and disease like the handiwork of the devil.
Because it is.
And yet we are content to tolerate too many things. That disease is not your companion.
That's right.
Don't let it be your norm. Don't get so uncomfortably comfortable that you're willing to just live with it. Because, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, it's not like, I mean, you know, I'm only dragging my leg through life. That's it. It's not that big of a deal. Wouldn't you rather just walk?
Yeah. Exactly.
And so, oh, there's so many directions we could go. Let me say this. So use these irritating, small, temporal things like allergies. Use that as practice ground. Use that, work on that, because that is something that we can get so, I've had this my whole life, and I already know, and oh, you know, da, da, da. Okay, well, you know, I just, that's allergies. See, what's happened? You've become so uncomfortably comfortable living with it. Now, if you want to keep it, keep it. That's you. That's your thing. It's your nose. You want to look like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer your whole life? You go for it. High five you. Woohoo, red nose. That's up to you. But you could use that and get so tired of it. Get so sick and tired of being sick and tired. And say, you know what? I'm going to use this to practice on. I'm going to become proficient in this. Now I don't care if it takes me a year. I don't care how long it takes me. How long it takes is not the point. But I'm going to use this and to hone in and develop my faith. I'm going to sharpen my faith on this. Because it's not necessarily life-threatening, but it bugs me. It irritates me. It makes life hard. It makes it no fun. So, all right, I'm going to learn to attack it and use this so that when someone comes with the cancer, with the AIDS, with the heart, whatever it is, see, I mastered it on the allergy, and that same anointing takes care of this. Remember David? Before he mastered the giant, it was the lion, it was the bear. Who knows? The Bible doesn't say. It could have been the groundhog and the fox, and it could have been all the little bitty guys that led up to the lion and the bear. And so we want to master our faith on these things. Amen. And I even have to remind myself of that sometimes. Because there's just stuff, you know, that comes with life. Just stuff tries to come. And because I use my voice so much, an area that the enemy tries to come in a lot is with my throat and my voice. And I have to continually, you know, I have to keep my stand strong on that. And there are times when you know, it's taken me a little longer than others. But all right, I bounce back. I get back up, and all right, here we go. Amen. And what took 2 days takes 24 hours. Amen. What took 24 hours? 15 minutes. It's out. Tries to come back. Oh, no, you don't. Nope. Nope. The word says, you're out. And we keep building our faith. Jesus said, hold fast to that which you have so that no one robs you, no one deprives you. You know, I think about what his word says, the kind of church he's coming back for, the kind of bride. That's one of the reasons why he wants us to hold fast to what we have. Not just because, absolutely because he wants you to walk in divine health. He wants your life to be, he wants you to enjoy your life, yeah. He wants you to walk in victory and feel good, and it's all those wonderful things. But we forget sometimes we're also being prepared for a grand event. Jesus is coming back. And he told us that he's coming for a bride that doesn't look like she slept a week in her wedding gown. Hair all nasty, you know, face all, you know, just and drool. And you know. No. He's coming back for a bride, the Bible says, without spot or blemish. Do you think sickness and disease can be considered a spot? Do you think it could be considered a blemish on the garments? Oh, absolutely. And so the bigger picture is, yeah, we're believing for right now, but we forget we're also being prepared. Yeah. We're being prepared. A bride without spot and blemish. So Jesus says, hold fast to this that you're hearing. You hear these truths. Hang on to them. Do them. Hold fast. Because he says, behold, I'm coming quickly. Amen. You think this year went by fast? Did anybody feel that way? Did anybody go, wait, what with Christmas? Did we not just do this? Are you serious? I'm buying you another gift? I'm kidding. I'm trying to make it where we all live, you know, but you know how you do with your kids. You're like, what? Didn't I just buy you? Why? You know? We think that time rolls by quickly now. And Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. So hold fast that which you have. so that no one robs you, so that nothing that you've been given is taken away. And this is why, you know, it's challenging sometimes to talk about ourselves, because then it sounds like you're talking about yourself, you know, and but what are you going to do? You got nobody else to talk for you. And so as a pastor, you just have to, takes humility, because you don't like to do it. But let me say, listen, if I thought that you could find a more solid word being taught anywhere else, then you know what? I love you enough that I would ask you to please go there. I would escort you myself and say, please put your roots down here, because you'll be better off for it.
Yes.
Because I love you enough that, you know what, if I thought anywhere else that it was so much better, then go there. Start your new year off, man. Get out of here and go there. But I can't say that, because I know the time and the effort and the sincerity of heart. I know what's put into the soil here.
Amen.
Which is why I can say, and I don't boast in myself. I am in myself. I am nothing. I am not interesting. There's nothing good to talk about, unless you're talking about makeup. But there's nothing good to talk about in myself. In and of myself. But in this, he transforms me.
Yes.
Outside of this, I'm so boring. So boring. In this, I help you live.
Amen.
I can help you get healed.
Yes.
I can help your babies get off of drugs. I can help you.
Yes.
And I know that. And so I just want to say this. This is one of our last services of the year. We have Thursday night. I pray to God that you'll come. So important. But while we have the core, in a sense, and I didn't plan on saying this, but I'm just going to step out here and you do with it what you want. But I'm asking, this is our last big service, in a sense. Let your roots go down deep. If you haven't already done that, re-solidify yourself in the Word, in the anointing. Make a decision that, all right, life happened in 2015. Stuff happened, absolutely, good and bad. Happened to all of us. Changes, good, bad, however. But I'm going to finish strong, and I'm going to start strong. I'm going to start 2016 strong, and I'm going to start it with my roots planted firmly. Yes, in the Word of God, but also in the house that I know God put me in.